If you're up against overwhelming circumstances and impossible situations, then you're just in the right place to express faith and to see God do something great. Next on Daily in the Word, we're going to study with Paul Chappell, Journeys of Faith. Life is absolutely and undeniably a journey of faith. Every single human being on the planet lives by faith. It's the object of the faith that differs. Every day you express faith, you place your faith in people and circumstances and things all around you. Life is designed by God to be a journey of faith. And when you come up against difficult situations, God wants you to turn to Him, to obey Him, to submit and yield to what He's doing in your life. And it's in that journey that you discover you can trust Him. Welcome to Daily in the Word. I'm Kerry Schmidt, your host, and this program features the teaching and preaching of Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Today we study Journeys of Faith, and you're going to be equipped and challenged in your walk with God. Before we join today's message, I want to invite you to visit us at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org for a host of resources that will help you and encourage you in your spiritual growth. But today, we first invite you to open to Genesis chapter 39 as we study the journey to Egypt.
But God says, I have one thing that every one of you can do. You can be faithful. You can be steadfast. The thing I love about Joseph's life is the fact that he could have quit many, many times, and he never quit on God. And we are in an age of quitters, where men quit on their marriage, and where Christians quit on their faith, and where people look for any reason to quit. I mean, a lot of Baptists walk around with the last straw right in their front pocket. They're ready to use it just on a moment's notice. That was the last straw. Joseph didn't have a last straw. Joseph was faithful. Real quickly, I want you to see four tests that Joseph faced and four tests that Joseph passed. First of all, he was faithful when he was betrayed by his brethren. When he was betrayed by his brethren. The Bible says that they envied Joseph. And you'll find much of the difficulty in life comes from someone that envies you, or someone that covets something about you, or someone that wishes they had something you have. Notice Genesis 37:11, and his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. Oh, they were upset at his having received the revelation. They were envious of that coat of many colors. They were envious that they did not receive the revelation. The Bible is very clear that they were angry and they persecuted their brother. The Bible says in Genesis 37 and verse 20, come now therefore and let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we will say some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what shall become of his dreams. Do you see that in your notes, Genesis 37, 20? We shall see what shall become of his dreams. You know what they hated the most about Joseph? They hated the fact that he was willing to recite the revelation of God. Folks, if you're going to be a soul winner, if you're going to be a witness for Jesus Christ, you will be rejected of men. You will have times when people will not be happy that you shared with them that they are a sinner and that Jesus died for their sin. You will have times when people do not want to hear that. I just want to encourage you. It is not you that they are rejecting so many times. It is the message that they reject. And they say there in verse 20, we will see what becomes of his dreams. Boy, they didn't like what Joseph had received from God. But I want you to recognize, even when difficulty comes, even when those unplanned trials come into your life, that God plans even your enemies. That God can use your enemies to serve his purpose. And that even though his brethren had become his enemies, even though Joseph did not understand, we're going to see in just a moment, God had a plan all the time. God in his sovereignty was working through it all. God would protect his man and God would do his work. Oh, thank God today for his grace and mercy. And even during the time of betrayal, God was working in Joseph's life. But notice the second great test that he experienced. He experienced this test. He was sold by his brethren. He was sold by his brethren. You know, it's one thing to have your brothers mad at you or envious of you or jealous of you, but how about having them sell you into slavery? Now, some of you say, well, I have had a brother that did that to me. He made me clean the backyard and the garage, and I was his slave. We're talking about literal slavery here. Notice chapter 37, verse 28. Chapter 37, verse 27 says, "Come, and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let our hand be upon him, for he is our brother in our flesh." And his brethren were content. You know the story. Now they find an opportunity to sell Joseph into slavery. They tell his father Jacob that he was dead. They think this is better than killing him. We're rid of him once and for all. They sell him to a man of great renown and popularity in Egypt, a man by the name of Potiphar. And here, they literally betray and sell their own brother into slavery. And I just want to say again, if you are going to be a man of faith, if you are going to be a woman of faith, if you intend to be steadfast all the days of your life for the Lord Jesus Christ, there will come times when people will stand against you. There will come difficulty into your life. The Bible says in the notes, 2 Timothy 3:12, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." My friend, you cannot be on fire for God without having someone say something about you or do something to you. Just what the Bible says. Everyone that lives for God is going to experience some difficulty. Hey, that's why we come to church on Sunday. Amen? So that we can be encouraged and edified, so that we can go back out and tell the dream of the gospel that Jesus Christ has given to us. We must remember that verse. It is required of stewards that a man be found faithful. It does not say it is required of stewards that a man be found successful. There are going to be days when you don't feel successful. There are going to be days when things aren't going forward. They're going backward. But in those backward times, Joseph still loved God. And he still was faithful to God. Here on his journey, we see him being faithful when he was betrayed, and when he was sold by his brethren. Notice thirdly, he was faithful when he was blessed. When he was blessed. Now think about this for a moment. Sometimes the trials come through adversity, but sometimes we are challenged through the times of blessing. I have seen a lot of people hang on during the trial, faithful to God. And then when the blessing came, they were not faithful to God. I mean, they lost their job. Lord, give me a job. Lord, give me a home. Lord, give us children. Lord, bless our finances. And the Lord bless. And the Lord bless. And then they had a promotion and a promotion. And now they had just enough that it's as if they said, you know, I don't need God anymore. I'm okay. And because they were blessed, they did not pass the test of blessing. You know, Joseph in Egypt began to find promotion coming his way. And all of us are living in a kind of Egypt, in a sinful world. And Joseph was being blessed and promoted in Potiphar's house. The Bible says in Genesis 39 and verse 2, "And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man." And by the way, it is not a sin when someone's business is blessed or someone is blessed at work. And Joseph certainly was not a sinner. And God was blessing him and prospering him. He became the master of the house. And yet through his time of prosperity, he never forgot God. Notice what it says later in Genesis 45 and verses 9 and 10 as he's speaking to his brethren. He says, "Haste ye and go up to my father and say unto him, Thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord of all Egypt." Did you capture that phrase? God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. Never forget that whatever blessing comes in your life, it comes from God. Many a businessman who prays and seeks God and seeks counsel and tries to find the will of God then sometimes will come to a place he no longer needs God's mind in the matter. He can just make his own decision about what to do next. But Joseph never forgot God during the time of his blessing. He did not forget that it all came from God. Every good and perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Friend, I don't know what God has done in your life lately, but I want to tell you this, you ought to be thankful for it. Every blessing comes from him. Joseph was faithful when he was betrayed. Joseph was faithful when he was sold into slavery. Joseph was faithful when he was blessed abundantly. And then I want you to see one final test. Joseph was faithful when he was unjustly accused. When he was unjustly accused. Now, right when you think things couldn't get any worse, I mean, you're in a foreign country, you can't see your dad. You are betrayed by your brethren. Now your boss's wife is going to pull one of the worst stunts ever recorded in the Bible. Notice what it says, if you will, in Genesis 39 and verse number 7. The Bible says, "And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. And she said, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Here we see Potiphar's wife attempting to seduce Joseph, attempting to somehow derail him and rob him of his integrity. And may I say that this type of test is common in the society in which we live. It may start with an innocent chat room. I thank God I've never been on one time of any type. I don't know how folks have time to chat on a computer. Chat with your family. Pray. Read the Bible. But I've heard of so many times just an innocent little chit-chat turning into a let's meet somewhere and a marriage is ruined. And I'm just simply saying the devil has been working since the beginning of time to derail people and to cause them to lose their integrity. It may be a little pop-up on your computer. It may be a little friendliness at the water cooler at work. I don't know how it comes in the way in which you live, but I know it came to Joseph and he was falsely accused. He was tested. And here we see as he is tempted by Potiphar's wife, he runs away from her. He says, look, I'm over everything in this house. I can have anything in this house I want, but not you. You're his wife. And as Joseph ran away, the Bible says Potiphar's wife held his coat. She later used that coat as her supposed evidence that Joseph had been wrong towards her. But I want to tell you something. As Joseph ran out of that house, he may have lost his coat, but he kept his character. Joseph walked in integrity. You see, character is not created in the crisis. It is only revealed in the crisis. And Joseph had been walking with God and trusting God. He had been guarding his thoughts. He had been walking with integrity. And when the test came, his character was revealed. And his character was this, young men. He was a man of God. He was a man who had walked in discipline with God. Well, you know the story, some of you. Potiphar's wife goes to her husband, look at this coat, look at what Joseph did. And now Joseph finds himself in prison because of what this ungodly, wicked woman said. In Genesis 39 and 20, the Bible says, and Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison. Think of that. In a foreign land, betrayed by your brethren, falsely accused, and sitting in a rotten prison. All because you were the one who was willing to say what God said. How many of you might have found reason to get discouraged? Many a man would have quit. Many a Baptist would have said, here's my last straw, God, that's it. But not Joseph. Joseph had learned that wherever he went, God went with him. And that God would provide grace for him. And the Bible says in Genesis 39:21, but the Lord was with Joseph. You say, well, Pastor, you don't know what's going on in my family. You don't know what's going on in my street. You don't know what's going on at my company. No, I know one thing, though. If you're saved, the Lord is with you. And don't forget that. Joseph knew that the Lord was with him. Genesis 39:23. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand because the Lord was with him. Well, I tell you what a blessing to have the Lord with you. The Bible says in Matthew 28, Jesus said, "And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Proverbs 16:7 is a great verse. It says this, "When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him." You know, while Joseph was in that prison, the prison keeper was kind to him. And God was sustaining him all throughout that time. I think about Joseph as a man who was faithful. I think about great and faithful men in the last several years, men who were pioneers in the fundamental Bible-believing movement in this land, and men who were church builders and soul winners, and men who encouraged millions of Christians, and now one by one they've been called home to be with the Lord. And I'm just simply saying, as God was with Joseph, God has been with others. And as God has been with others, listen, God will be with us during the difficult times, during the down times. Joseph said, God is a faithful God. And Joseph was a faithful man. Oh, we need faithful men in America today. Faithful women in America, when the trials come and the setbacks come, who keep on going and keep on trusting. But notice, his journey was not only a journey of faith, not only a journey of faithfulness, but notice finally, it was a journey of forgiveness. I believe one of the reasons Joseph finished his race was because he was a good forgiver. He didn't have a last straw. He just kept forgiving and forgiving. His brothers came to him the first time. He could have punished them. They deserve punishment. His brothers came the second time. He could have punished them then. And instead, he put money and food in their bags and sent them on their way. He was a man who was not a scorekeeper. He was a grace giver. He was a forgiving man, a loving man. The Bible says he forgave his brothers. Genesis 45 and verse 4, for the sake of time, Joseph said unto his brethren, "Come near to me, I pray you." And they came near. And he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves, but that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life." You see, at first they didn't recognize who he was. He was thoroughly Egyptianized. His look, his speech, His presence was not what they had known when he was a 17-year-old young boy. And now he identifies himself to them. No doubt when they realized who he was, fear gripped their heart. No doubt they were concerned that revenge was about to come upon them. But instead of finding revenge, we see that Joseph says here, "Don't be angry with yourself." I don't know about you, I might have said, "Hey boys, stew on this for a while. Judgment day has come." That wasn't Joseph's spirit. He said, "Don't be angry with yourself." He said, "God sent me here so I could preserve your life." Wow. I've had people say, "Pastor, I think God gave me cancer so I could help others with cancer. I think God put me through that abusive relationship so that I could help others. I think God has blessed me financially so that I could help others." Oh, listen, I want to tell you something. Joseph was a leader who had learned that God had a purpose in all these trials of his life. Clara Barton, the founder of the Red Cross, once was treated terribly by a friend. And later on in life, that friend came back and was trying to have business dealings with her. And an associate said, "Don't you remember what she did to you? Don't you remember what she said about you? You better be careful." Clara Barton said, "I don't remember." She said, "Don't you remember?" She said, "No." She said, "In fact, I distinctly remember forgetting it." You see, Joseph distinctly forgot and forgave. He showed the grace of God. The Bible says he put money in their sack. The Bible says he sent them on their way with provision. In fact, notice there in chapter 45 and verse 7 what he says to them. As he sends them, the Bible says in Genesis 45 and verse 7, and he says, "And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance." In other words, Joseph says, "You know what I've learned? I've learned God has a purpose in all of this. I've learned that with the setbacks and the trials and the difficulties, God has a reason." Have you learned that, Christian friend? Have you learned Romans 8:28? "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are the called," what? "According to his" what? "Purpose." God says, look, I've got a reason for this. I have a purpose for this. He forgave his brothers. I want you to see one more thing. He focused on the Lord. Joseph, throughout his journey of faith, just stayed focused on the Lord. And I want you to see the verse, either turn there or look in the notes. Genesis 50 and verse 20. His brothers come back to him. Jacob has died. They're sure he will kill them now. But notice what the Bible says in verse 20. One of the most powerful verses to me in all the Bible. Genesis 50, 20. He says to his brothers, but as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring it to pass as to this day to save much people alive. You see, they thought evil against him. You say, but pastor, you should hear what his attorney did. You should hear what her attorney did. You should hear what they say at work. You should hear what people have done. I want to tell you something. If you're a child of God, God loves you. You're the apple of his eye. They may mean it for evil, but God can turn it to good. Because God has a way of taking all the wrongs and making them right. That's the great thing about our God. Oh, Joseph's journey to Egypt, it was unplanned, believe me. It was not what a 17-year-old boy was hoping to do that particular day. Just as some of the journeys you've taken were not planned. But through it all, God had a purpose. Joseph learned to forgive. I want to say this as I close this morning. Those brothers deserved punishment. If they got what they had coming, they would have been in the Egyptian prison. But it reminds me of this simple fact. If I got what I deserved, I would spend eternity in hell without God. Remember, I said a moment ago, there's a lot of things about Joseph that remind me of Jesus. You see, the fact is, friend, all of us, if we got what we deserve, we would get judgment. If we got what we deserve, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And just as Joseph could have said, depart from me, ye cursed, Jesus Christ could say that to you and to me. But instead he says, all you that are heavy laden and all of you that are filled with burdens, come unto me and I will give you rest. Instead of judging us, he forgave us. Instead of judging us, he went to the cross of Calvary. And there my sin was judged on the cross of Calvary as the blood of Jesus was spilled. And that's why Jesus can offer forgiveness for us today. Listen, if you're here today not sure that your sins are forgiven, you're not sure that heaven is your home, I've got good news for you. God's not mad at you, and God doesn't want you to be mad at yourself. He loves you, and he wants you to come and trust him as your Savior. He wants you to know that forgiveness is available because the blood of Jesus has been spilled, and the blood of Jesus says, forgiven, forgiven, forgiven. And all who come to that fount filled with blood have their sins forgiven. What a great, great truth that is. And by the way, if you've been forgiven, why don't you practice some forgiveness? Ephesians 4:32, forgiving those for Christ's sake, even as God hath forgiven you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time to study the life of Joseph. Thank you for loving us and helping us. And I pray that we would learn from these journeys of faith, how to journey ourselves through this pilgrimage.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California, studying currently a series entitled Journeys for the Faith. And friend, your faith journey begins when you come to Jesus Christ in faith. When you come to Him alone as your Savior and receive Him into your heart and life. And friend, if you've never made that decision, we hope you'll make that decision today to let go of religion, to let go of your own goodness, and to trust Christ alone. Invite Him into your heart and life. Confess that you need a Savior and place 100% of your faith in Him for salvation. He will answer that prayer. He will save you, and He will come into your life and begin to change you from the inside out. Before we close out this edition of Daily in the Word, I want to invite you to contact us if we can help you understand salvation more, or if we can provide you with any of the resources that we've mentioned on the program. You can call us toll-free at 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that's 1-800-201-7748. You can find out more about Pastor Chappell and the ministry of Daily in the Word when you visit dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. I do want to encourage you to be sure to pick up a copy of Dr. Chappell's newest book, The Burden Bearer. This book is about 150 pages of the most powerful encouragement that I personally have ever read in my Christian life. It's an allegory that powerfully applies biblical principles, and it will help you understand what a relationship with Jesus Christ does in bringing rest and encouragement to your heart. It's again entitled The Burden Bearer. You can find out more about it when you visit again, dailyintheword.org. And don't forget, Dr. Chappell invites you to join him and lots of Christian friends from all across the country on the Alaska Cruise, August 9th through the 16th of 2014. Once again, August 9th through the 16th, visit dailyintheword.org. Click on the Alaska Cruise link to find out more about this exciting adventure. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.